The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Recording. So welcome. Welcome, everybody. Nice to see you all. So in some of the happy hours I've been doing, I've been introducing this new phrase for the difficult people that I've been appreciating. We've kind of been exploring whether to use this alternative phrase for everybody or only use it in certain situations. So that is, if you haven't been for the last few times I've been teaching, for difficult individuals, I've been suggesting this phrase that I got from Tanisro Bhikkhu. That is this phrase of, may you understand the causes for true happiness and be willing and able to act on those causes. So this shift from what is the kind of the classic ones, Sharon Salzberg often says these phrases where Nikki and I got them. I don't know if Nikki's kind of drifted away from them, but initially we were basing this on Sharon Salzberg's work with may you be safe, may you be happy, may you be healthy, and may you live with ease. And of course, there's a big difference between the kind of like the tone, the what's being pointed to, and these two different sets of phrases. And so I just wanted to talk a little bit about the whole idea of phrases. First of all, it's really helpful to find phrases that resonate for us. So I'm offering these two different sets, but of course, you're welcome to modify them to find words that, I like this word resonates, that vibrate or seem like something you can get behind, that you don't have hesitation with. But some guidelines, if you do want to modify them, phrases should be simple. They should be clear, you know, not complicated or convoluted. Have some kindness in them, of course. Maybe that goes without saying. And also have some authenticity behind them. Authenticity being that you are, have some like sincerely wishing this for another or for yourself, which isn't the same as saying that you are having that emotion at that moment, like that you're completely behind authentically at that. I'm using this word authentically there, but the sense of, maybe I'll back up and I'll say it this way. We're not using the phrases to make a particular emotional state arise in ourselves. So the purpose of practice is not to make some emotional state arise. It's to support the cultivation of goodwill. It's to support the cultivation of loving kindness or whatever word you want to use for metta, benevolence, goodwill, kindness, care. But if we have this idea that we have to have this particular emotion with it, then, you know, we were most often, very often, feel frustrated or will feel like, oh, it's not working or something like this. So instead, just this recognition that there may be some dryness, there may be sometimes in which it feels a little bit stiff. I like this word dry. It feels there isn't some juiciness behind it. There isn't a lot of emotionality behind it. And that's okay. Right? If we could always manufacture some particular emotion, we would not need to be cultivating loving kindness. We would not have this practice. We would just bring to mind, may you be happy, and then we would just have this feeling of wishing them to be happy. But instead, there's this, you know, maybe a respect and a care for the neuroplasticity of the mind. That is, that which we think often becomes a little bit easier to access in our minds and in our hearts. And That's whether all the good things as well as all the bad things that we often think about. So the phrases, you're welcome to modify them. Encouragement to keep them simple and clear, you know, not too complicated and not too specific. If they can be a little bit more generalized, may you be happy, as opposed to may you get good news from the doctor next Wednesday at 3 o'clock. And if that doesn't happen, may you have this. You know, that tends to get too much in just thinking. But we're trying to kind of like allow the kind of like thinking mind to drop in and support kind of the heart. And maybe there's a somatic element to this, an opening, a freeing, a sense of spaciousness. Then maybe something else I'll say about the phrases is that they begin with may you. And maybe this sounds like a request. We would perhaps might use the same language for that, or maybe even a supplication. But it's the phrases, they're not so much about wishing, you know, just having good wishes. It's more about using language that is makes space for things to unfold. It makes space for some unlocking, some awakening maybe of some goodwill that's already in our hearts, but we're making room for it. So we're trying to like have an attitude or encourage some loving kindness. So maybe there's some language for you. Maybe this language of may you doesn't work for you. So there's a real encouragement to investigate. But at the same time, right, it can be a trap. If we're always trying to find the exact perfect phrases, then we're just busy with finding the perfect phrases. So the encouragement is to find some words that you can, that feel comfortable enough. And it might be that as you're practicing, it just naturally happens that an alternative word arises. And if so, you can go on a test drive with that. So just an encouragement to, and this is your own practice, of course. So all of us have our own histories with different words. And some of us are maybe more inclined to investigate and try to figure out until it's perfect. So watch if you have those kind of tendencies. So with these all kind of caveats and guidelines, maybe just an invitation to make this practice your own. And I'll continue using these phrases, and maybe you'll be modifying them for yourself. Maybe one last thing I'll say is that sometimes we might fall into thinking like, oh, well, there's something magical about these particular phrases. I think if it's not so much magic, it's more about what allows the heart to soften, to open, to relax. If there's any magic, I would say that's what it is. It's that which allows the softening, easing, opening, that kind of thing, rather than particular words. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's do a little bit of practice. So taking an alert and comfortable posture. And just feeling into the posture. What does it feel like to be the body in this particular formation at this particular time? maybe tuning in to where the body meets the chair or the cushion, feeling that pressure. Tuning in to where the feet are touching the ground or the zabuton or whatever it might be. Feeling grounded, feeling connected. And tuning in to the sensations of breathing. The stretching, the release of the stretch, the movements of the chest or the belly, maybe the sensations of the nose. Just tuning into how this body is breathing at this time. Tuning in to the in-breaths, noticing the beginning, middle, end, tuning into the out breath, noticing the beginning, middle, and end of the exhales. And then to start our loving kindness practice, starting where it's easy with a lovable being, just bringing to mind a lovable being, whether it's an imaginary one or somebody you know or somebody you know about. Can you connect with this lovable being visually, bringing them to mind, imagining them, recollecting them perhaps? And then to support our cultivating loving kindness, we can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Can you connect with this lovable being in a way that's supportive for you without straining or striving or struggling, but to connect in a soft, gentle way? And then to extend our loving kindness to ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Connecting to your sense of self, whether it's visually, bringing to mind a photograph we've seen of ourselves, or maybe our self view on Zoom, or maybe a photo we've seen at a time when we were really happy, no matter what age we were at that photo. Maybe connecting with the felt experience, the bodily experience of this moment. Whichever feels the most supportive for cultivating loving kindness. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. then can we extend it to somebody we don't know? A neutral person, somebody we don't have any particular feelings about. Somebody on this Zoom call that you don't know. Somebody you see in the neighborhood occasionally. Maybe for this person, we'll use a different phrase. May you understand the causes for true happiness and be willing and able to act on those causes. May you understand the causes for true happiness and be willing and able to act on those causes. May you understand the causes for true happiness and be willing and able to act on those causes. Or you can use the phrases we were using earlier. Sometimes it's difficult to connect with the neutral person. It might take a little bit more effort. May you understand the causes of true happiness and be willing and able to act on those causes. And then can we extend this to a troubling person or somebody who's a little bit difficult for us, but not the most difficult person? Be a bothersome person. Bringing them to mind. May you understand the causes for true happiness and be be willing and able to act on those causes. May you understand the causes for true happiness and be willing and able to act on those causes. True happiness cannot involve harming others. So wishing the difficult person to know the causes for true happiness and to be able and willing to act on those causes. We'll linger here just for a little bit longer with the mildly difficult person. If it feels appropriate, maybe a little somebody who's more difficult, but no pressure. There is no timeline. We're not in any hurry. And if it feels like too much of a strain, you're always welcome to go back to the lovable being and soak and where it's easier. Be nourished, supported, roll around in that feeling. That's always an option. So this idea of the phrases, we can make them work for us in a way that supports us, and maybe in a way that doesn't cause struggle or strife or problems. So maybe some of you have already adapted some of the phrases or changed some of the words. And then as I'm, you know, teaching these days, is to use different phrases for different people. And maybe that feels too complicated and it's better to just keep it simple, same phrases for everybody. Or maybe you feel like you need some support for these other, for the neutral person, the difficult person, and to switch the words feels like you can show up for that. So they'll be different for different people. And maybe there'll be different times in your practice when it feels different also. Like one way may work for a while and then another way would be better. So just an encouragement to maybe, like, you can share and talk about these ideas with others about modifying the phrases or whether or not to use the same phrases for all categories or people. It can be helpful to hear some of other people's ideas and to learn from them. So I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms where you'll have an opportunity to talk about this. You'll be in groups of three or four, and can describe maybe this experience of just this last meditation that we did, or maybe share something that's worked for you, or whatever you think might be helpful, but without giving advice to each other. The last thing we want to be doing is, like, we don't want to be hearing advice, right? None of us has to be fixed or needs to hear anything, right? But you might share, like, what has worked for us or something. Kind of, you know, that type of an approach. So let's see here. Okay, so it's helpful to just say one thing and then go to the next person, and they say one thing and then goes to the next person. And that way, you know, kind of the introverts and the extroverts, everybody gets a chance to speak and can kind of like learn from one another and maybe create something together, allowing yourself to be influenced by what you hear. And let's go in the order of the last digit of your phone number. So if your last digit of your phone number is a zero, you would go first. Okay, here we go. Okay, welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, Jesse.
I appreciated you talking about phrases in general today. And I just had some kind of trivia questions that maybe I'm curious about your thoughts, but yesterday, Nikki was talking about the importance of safety. So I was wondering, well, why not just use one phrase, may I be safe? So my question would be, do you have any thoughts on why we use four phrases, or that's generally taught that way, versus maybe three phrases or five phrases? And then, you know, what about just saying, may I be safe, over and over again?
Yeah. So there's nothing magical about four. Why not just do why safe? Just the recognition you may be safe and yet you may be miserable. You may be in a bunker or something like this with sterilized food, or I don't know what it is exactly, right? But you may be miserable. So just this recognition of that there's more to one's life. But we do put safe as the very first phrase, this recognition that if you're not safe, it's hard. Everything else is hard. The healthy, happy, and having ease is more difficult. And then while we talk about healthy and happy, another way to understand that is to like bodily well-being and mental well-being are kind of like the two general categories or what we're are being pointed to there. And then this fourth one, may you live with ease. I'm often interpreting that like without oppression, you know, without some like being without these terrible social injustices or things like this, right? It's just some bigger aspects of one's life. So that's why we have these four, just to acknowledge the different aspects of our lives. But there's doesn't need to be four. It could just be one. But I just like how we're using just one phrase for the difficult person. When I'm saying, may you understand the causes of true happiness and be willing to, that's just, you know, one phrase. So if you feel like that's sufficient and resonates with you, then you can do that. I guess maybe I'll just say I was trained with four phrases. And so for me, that's kind of what feels comfortable. And that's why, partly why I'm teaching it with four phrases. So does that answer your questions, Jesse?
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Marie-Christine.
What I find a little bit concerning about the phrase, you know, may you understand the true nature of happiness, is a little bit like, I know better than you. Like, I'm holier than thou. I know what the causes are, and may you do too.
Yeah. There can be that that sense of that. Yeah. But it could also be, you know, when we say, may you be happy, you may like, don't, you know, get your life together that you're not happy. I don't know, right? There
can be definitely. Yeah. I found it easier if I change causes to the nature of happiness.
Oh, nice. Thank you. Yeah, I think what Tanisha Rubico is pointing to is like recognize, helping people understand that they can make themselves happy. When I say making people understand, I mean both the person who's wishing this for them and the difficult person, quote unquote, just everybody understanding that, you know, just because we wish people to be happy doesn't mean they are going to be happy. But if people understand what makes them happy, then it enables them to take responsibility and to hopefully do what they are able to do to be happy. But I appreciate Marie-Christine, this kind of I know better attitude. Yeah, I could see where that might sneak in there. So we're 2 minutes after. I'm happy to stay and I will stay, but I'm just acknowledging that a little bit after. And Jamie, are you still here? Yes. Do you want to ask your question?
No, I didn't know the time, Diana. It's okay.
Okay. And Bob, do you have a question you'd like to ask? Can you unmute yourself, please? Yeah, so you know you're still muted, right? Nope.
Okay. There we go. I got it. Man, sometimes this phone doesn't work very well. I think your point about not getting put off by the words, but using the words that you might find more palatable or the intention, maybe the intention will kind of guide you through that part so that the words don't become a hindrance. And so I was struggling with that. I've been struggling with that for many times that I practice metta, and I'm beginning to understand that the intentions don't have to necessarily have the words attached, but the words are helpful and can be helpful. And so I just think keeping an eye on that is good.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing in this word, intentions. Yep, it's really kind of to support our intentions. And our intentions are right to cultivate loving kindness, as well as, you know, to kind of open our hearts and have some goodwill. And just like with mindfulness of breathing, when the mind wanders, we just come back to the breath, and we just do this however many times we have to. In the same way, using the phrases is a way which we come back to our intention. When we find ourselves drifting, with the phrases helps us to come back. Yeah. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Okay. So thank you all. And if you like, we can unmute and say goodbye. So, bye.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Diana.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.